You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Julie Broadway, president at the American Horse Council.
And I'm Megan Arsman, marketing and communications specialist with the American Horse Council. And you are listening to the special monthly American Horse Council episode of Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for Tuesday, May 7th, 2024.
Good morning, horse world.
It's time to hear from the American Horse Council in this monthly episode of Horses in the Morning.
Thank you for tuning in this morning. May is Adopt a Horse Month, and there are lots of great horses available for adoption from reputable rescues and aftercare programs. From off-track thoroughbreds to retired broodmares or even donkeys or ponies looking for a new pasture, it seems like you can find an adoptable horse, pony, or donkey to fit whatever your needs are somewhere in the United States. Right, Julie?
That's right, Megan. And I also want to make a point of saying many of these horses go on for great second careers. They might be an eventer. They could go into something completely different. So don't discount some great horses out there that are available for adoption that you want to use in some other competition type capacity.
Mm-hmm. Great. Exactly. And especially, you know, even just little pasture pets or anything else like that. So we've got two great groups joining us today to help us celebrate Adopt a Horse Month. So let's start the conversation.
Great. Let's get to it. So listeners, today's American Horse Council podcast is brought to you by one of our corporate sponsors, Equifit. Founded in 2000, Equifit is a Massachusetts-based company that designs and manufactures technologically advanced products for top riders and horses throughout the world. From their Impactic technology to FEI-compliant legwear, Ag Silver is the trademark, topicals to the hot and cold therapy line, Equifit continues to raise expectations by pairing innovative designs with highly advanced materials. So we're delighted to have Andrea Manley with the United Horse Coalition with us today. So those of our listeners who aren't familiar with the United Horse Coalition, this grew out of the Unwounded Horse Summit, which was organized by the American Association of Equine Practitioners and held in conjunction with the American Horse Council's annual meeting in Washington, D.C. in April of 2005. The summit was held to bring key stakeholders together to start a dialogue on the plight of horses that are at risk in America. Its purpose was to develop consensus on the most effective ways to work together as an industry to address this issue. In June 2006, the UHC was folded into the American Horse Council and now operates under the American Horse Council Foundation. The United Horse Coalition is a broad alliance of equine organizations that have joined together to help educate the industry about the issues facing horses at risk or in transition. We seek to provide information for existing and prospective owners, breeders, sellers, and horse organizations regarding the long-term responsibilities of owning and caring for horses, as well as focusing on opportunities available for these horses. So this is a perfect fit for the National Adopt a Horse Month.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea has been involved with the horse industry for over 20 years in a number of different capacities. She's run her own boarding and training facility, as well as managed facilities for others. She's worked as a sales rep for various products and is a certified saddle fitter. She is the program manager for the United Horse Coalition. And so in addition to working with us, she works for Post University, where she teaches and supervises the university's online equine bachelor's degree program. And currently, lucky for her, she lives in Aiken, South Carolina, where she just purchased a home and some land and is slowly building up her repertoire with horses and other animals. I love to talk to her and learn about what new things she's adopted, including other species.
And joining Andrea is Kelsey Buckley, who is the program administrator for the Equine Welfare Data Collective. She is also the outbound manager for one of the largest equestrian goods distributors in New England. Kelsey grew up with horses, so she's a self-proclaimed loud and proud horse girl. She attended the University of New Hampshire, where she received a degree in equine management and previously managed some horse facilities for a number of years before she started with us. Currently, Kelsey lives at the base of a mountain in New Hampshire with her husband, two dogs, two geldings, a Lusitano, and a paint. Welcome, Kelsey and Andrea, to the show.
So why don't you gals say hello, and then we'll get started on some banter and some questions here.
Well, hello, I'm Kelsey.
Hi, I'm Andrea. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. So, Andrea, for those who might not know, why don't you give us a bit of a synopsis about what are some of the things the United Horse Coalition is doing and what are some of the main goals of the organization?
Right. You did a fantastic job, of course, Julie, of explaining how we came into existence and what we do, which is amazing. I thought I'd give our listeners just a quick definition so they understand the difference between the at-risk equine. It's one that's it has an increased possibility of experiencing a situation of neglect, abuse, or general poor welfare. And then there's the one that is in transition that's moving from one home, vocation, owner, or opportunity. And they often do find themselves in transition to no fault of their own, but rather as a result of the change in the owner circumstances, such as time, location, finances, needs, et cetera. So that at-risk equine can be just a quick little life change away from being in transition. And so we are here to help with both of those. So that's kind of where our pride and joy comes in. And that's our equine resource database. It's a free online searchable database of over 1,200 rescues and sanctuaries. There's also assistance programs and safety net services, and these include hay and feed assistance, castration services, vet services, and sadly, but needed, euthanasia services. And then we have our Equine Welfare Data Collective, which Kelsey will be talking about. So these kind of help us with our main goals here at the United Horse Coalition, where we are working to help rescues and sanctuaries to reduce the number of at-risk horses while helping those in transition. And we do that through educating horse owners about owning responsibly and directing them to the many resources available to help them keep their horse safe. And then another goal is for us to help to inform the industry about the issues surrounding the at-risk horses and what we can do collectively to help them.
Great.
It seems like so much stuff that you guys do. And while the Coalition is known for a lot of work of helping horse owners, you also work with a lot of rescues and sanctuaries. So how is the Coalition helping with those horse adoptions?
So the UHC is helping with the horse adoptions by creating a network for horse owners and potential horse owners. We're connecting them with not only the rescues in their area, but resources to help them aid in their horse ownership goals. We've created an impressive library of information to help owners answer all sorts of questions, from making the right decisions before they adopt a horse, all the way through estate planning and end-of-life decisions. Our extensive network of resources helps provide aid in times of need. We've also created strategic partnerships to help with these horses in transitions. Our new partnership with A Home for Every Horse has allowed rescues to help have access to our amazing sponsors such as Purina, Absorbine, Tractor Supply, Weather Beater, and other equine discounts, all of whom are dedicated to enhancing support for equine welfare initiatives. This support is then passed on to the new horse owner, allowing them to have the perfect start with their new horse.
Awesome. What, if any, special plans do you have for National Adopt-a-Horse Month, either associated with the United Horse Coalition or with any of your partners or others that are out there?
So the UHC is kicking off Adopt-a-Horse Month along with our partners at A Home for Every Horse and Purina by providing feed coupons for free bags of Purina horse feed to rescues and sanctuaries nationwide.
Awesome.
We want to help support them and the wonderful work they do every day in helping these at-risk equines find new homes with loving owners. So we do the coupon mailings every spring and fall. And although our applications close tomorrow on the 25th, we do welcome organizations certainly to join us for the next round. And then there are also various organizations who are running special events in May to celebrate Adopt-a-Horse Month. the ASPCA will be doing a lot of promotions in an effort to get the word out about how awesome adoption is and the many perks that come with finding the right horse through your local rescue. So we encourage anyone who might be interested in finding their next horse to check out our equine resource database for a long list of local rescues. And if you're interested, maybe even consider volunteering for one.
Awesome. Awesome. So for the listeners, clarification, we're pre-recording our podcast today. So the application period does close on April the 25th, and this podcast will air on May the 7th. So if you missed the deadline and you're just now hearing it on the podcast, stay tuned. You'll get a chance to sign back up in the fall.
Yeah, really important. We try to post all that information, the United Horse Coalition does, on their socials and through their different releases. So Kelsey, so the Equine Welfare Data Collective is under the umbrella of the coalition. So you work alongside with Andrea. What is the main goal of the collective, and how is it helping rescues and sanctuaries?
So as we all know, as horse people, the horse industry has historically been dominated by anecdotal stories and evidence. The EWDC came to be because of this, and the need for data-driven facts was identified. Mm-hmm. Our main goal is to provide accurate and credible data to give insights into equine welfare in the United States. The reports that we make from our data shows base trends on capacity, the current populations in the equine welfare organizations, assistance services that are out there for owners, and even more. Rescues and sanctuaries can use the EWDC reports to see what's going on across the country and where funding can be directed to improve the programming that they provide and is provided across the U.S. for at-risk and transitioning horses.
So, Kelsey, tell our listeners how you guys go about collecting all this data, because there's over 1,000 501c3 rescues and sanctuaries across the country, and so collecting all that data can be a real challenge.
So, yeah, we created a handful of surveys. There are currently 4 surveys. There's one that is an organization profile that they fill out. They only need to fill it out once. It gathers some basic information on the rescue or sanctuary. There is an aggregate survey that collects data for the entire year that we released in July. We released that in July. And then there is a survey 1 and a survey 2 that collect the data for 6-month increments. So they can do either the aggregate or they can do survey 1 and survey 2, whatever's easier for them.
Awesome. I know that people who work in rescues and sanctuaries are really pressed for time. They have a lot on their plate. So having that flexibility for them to choose which survey is most appropriate and fitting for whatever their need is really handy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I always tell them that I'm happy to help them.
Why is it important that we're collecting this information for the rescues and sanctuaries?
So collecting this data is crucial to knowing what's really going on in rescues and sanctuaries across the U.S. We can hear things word of mouth, but having the data to back it up makes it real and it makes it credible. We can use an example from the last report that came out in February. It might come to some people's attention that have been following these reports that adoptions were down in Report 6 compared to Report 5. So in 2021, adoptions made up 75% of outcomes versus 2022, where they were just 66% of outcomes. And people's initial reaction to this might be, oh no, there aren't horses being adopted out like they were. But we also saw a big jump in organizations transferring their horses to other agencies. In 2021, only 3.5% of outcomes were transfers to another agency. But in 2022, 12% of equines left the custody of one program and were moved to another. So what that means to us, and hopefully other people can see this too, is that these rescues and sanctuaries are networking better and working together more to get adoptable horses to high demand areas where totally. They'd be more likely to be adopted. So transferring horses from one program to another is something that we've seen equine welfare organizations are really starting to use more and improve upon. And hopefully this might lead to higher adoption rates in the future. So the data being collected, we wouldn't be able to come to conclusions and realizations like this.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me that when someone's interested in adopting, maybe they have a particular breed in mind or a particular career that they'd like to use that horse for. They look around at their local rescues and they can't find a horse that meets what they're looking for. And so it's nice to see this networking going on more so, because it means that we're moving horses from one place to another, but they're ending up in really good homes and getting to the right people.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I think it's so important to point out that, you know, organizations are working together and that, you know, this is a team aspect. We've got the United Horse Coalition working alongside with the Home for Every Horse and rescues and sanctuaries working side by side with each other. So, you know, it's really important that people see that the horse industry is about, you know, helping all levels of horse ownership and, you know, horse lovers, whether it's, you know, from, you know, new first time owners to the seasoned veterans. So your data is collected, are you seeing certain areas in the country where more horses are adopted than others, Kelsey, or is there more like a population for rescues and sanctuaries than others?
So our reports do break out the US into 10 regions. In the last report for the data from 2022, the regions with the highest percent of outcomes being adoptions were Region 1, which is made up of Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Vermont, and adoptions were 88% of their outcomes. Region 2, which is Arkansas, Louisiana, New Mexico, and Oklahoma, they had 85% of their outcomes be adoptions. In Region 4, which is a bigger collection of states, it includes Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Mississippi, they had 84% of their outcomes be adoptions. And I also wanted to point out that in that report, the region with the lowest adoption outcome, which was Region 3, which was Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and West Virginia, they had 38% of their outcomes be adoption. So they were the lowest out of the 10 regions, but they had the highest rate of transfers to other agencies, with 44% of their outcomes being horses leaving their program and going to another rescue or sanctuary. So I thought that was an interesting.
Woohoo, Region 2. Ha ha. That's good. No, right? That's great. So Kelsey, from the last report, can you give our listeners some idea of how many horses are out there and available through these recognized rescues for adoption?
So there's about 40,000 horses that are available for adoption, and you can find them online. You can go through A Home for Every Horse. You can go through ASPCA's Right Horse, equine.com, Pet Finder, Pet Harbor, and UHC's Equine Resource Database, which Andrea touched upon earlier, also can help you find rescues local to you. And it has a bunch of educational resources for new horse owners and the questions to ask when you're looking for the right horse.
Those are such great tools to have those questions that are to ask and, you know, questions to ask people when you're looking at horses and questions to ask yourself to make sure that you're ready to adopt or that you're ready to, you know, purchase a horse. So it's really important for owners and potential owners to, you know, really make sure that they're prepared to take on the task of being a horse owner. So Andrea, that is a great segue back to you. And how can people help grow the mission of the United Horse Coalition and help grow awareness of some of these things that we know are best kept secrets that we really don't want to keep secret anymore?
Right. We certainly don't want to be a secret. We want everybody to know about the United Horse Coalition and what we can do to help new and existing horse owners. So the biggest way to help grow our mission, of course, is to become a member and help support the UHC. We do offer different levels of memberships, and we actually offer our rescues and sanctuaries a free membership. And this free membership is an opportunity brought along by our relationship with A Home for Every Horse, which is a very exciting new partnership for us. Another thing that could help grow our mission is certainly getting the word out about what we do. That's a huge help. Sharing this podcast, sharing our social media, sharing our amazing resources in our website, all of that really helps to reach new people which might be in need of our help. Another big way that people can support our mission is also to support their local rescues and sanctuaries. This can be donating, volunteering, or just promoting them as well. And ultimately, the best way for people to promote our mission is to be a responsible horse owner. That's our goal. We want everyone to be responsible and take care of their equines throughout their entire life and planning properly for the end of life, which hopefully is a long way away.
Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to ask questions, right, Andrea? I mean, we've got the equine resource database, and you know, we've got you. We can put contact information, and we'll put links at the bottom of our show notes so you can check out the United Horse Coalition's website, which includes the Equine Welfare Data Collective. It's a bit of a tongue twister there sometimes, but yeah, you know, definitely make sure don't be afraid to ask questions, right?
Right. Reach out. There are no dumb questions. We've heard it all. We just want to help, and we'll point you in the right direction and provide any sort of resources we can do. If you don't know, then we can't help. So certainly reach out and ask.
Yeah, I can honestly say, Andrea, that we've had some really interesting questions. They range from somebody who's like, okay, where do I find a hay bank or feed coupons or those kinds of things, all the way to someone who says, look, I need an able-bodied person to come and help me build a run-in shed for my horses. Can you help connect me to somebody? And we're sure, let us make a few phone calls. We'll see what we can do. So there's no question or no option that we won't explore if people ask us.
No job is too small or too big.
I like to tell people that there's no shame in not knowing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I always tell people it's a great way to build your network. You know, my friends mm-hmm. sometimes laugh because I talk to everyone. I go to a horse show. I go to a tack store and I just talk to everyone because you never know. You might be able to help them. They might have something for you that you didn't know. So just reach out and talk to us. We're happy to. We're horse people. We'll talk.
Well, thanks both Kelsey and Andrea for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And everybody look in the show notes for how to contact them and learn more about the programs that are out there. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So listeners, we're delighted to have Melissa Kitchen. She's the president of the Equine Network Foundation, which is a relatively new foundation. So Melissa, tell our listeners a little bit about what the foundation's mission is and sort of what kind of things you guys are going to try to tackle.
Awesome. Thanks, Julie. We are a new entity. We just got our 501c3 in the last couple months, but our mission is to advance the welfare and well-being of equids. Doesn't matter if it's horses, donkeys, mules, we want to help them all, but through impactful initiatives and fierce advocacy. So we're going to provide grants and services and support to rescues, but also to the industry. We've long had the program, I think for 12 years, A Home for Every Horse. So our first year of this foundation, we're going to expand on that, see how we can support horse rescues across the United States, and then add another program in the beginning of 2025 that has to do with industry sustainability. And obviously, that's a really big topic, so we're doing a lot of research right now to see exactly what piece that might be, whether it's access to land use or veterinary care or you name it. I mean, there's a million topics, so we're just really trying to be thoughtful about which ones we help first.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, sustainability is a conversation everybody in the industry is having, is, you know, sort of what's the trajectory of the industry and where do we go from here? So I think that's a really worthwhile effort for you guys to try to tackle. And I bet every segment of the industry would have a different answer about what they would think would mean sustainability. So good luck with prioritizing that. That's going to be a challenge.
They do. And, you know, equestrians think of it a little bit different than the rest of the world. I mean, horse people are green to begin with. We're agriculturists, you know, like we recycle, we use our manure for different things, like all these different things. So equestrians are like, how do we keep horses around, you know, as the center of our universe for the next 50 years, 100 years? They're afraid the industry is just going to shrink and they don't want it to. It's so much part of our history and our culture. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it will be very interesting. May is National Adopt a Horse Month, so I'm curious if you guys have got any plans to promote adoptions, or I know you also have a website that specializes in connecting people with horses, so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and actually we had good timing. We have equine.com, which has been around since 1995. We've sold over 130,000 horses on that site, but it was really kind of in shambles. And so we just relaunched it. But rescues that are a part of A Home for Every Horse in the United Horse Coalition can list their horses and donkeys, mules on there for free. So throughout this month, we are going to, on our website, on our social channels for the Foundation for A Home for Every Horse and equine.com, we're going to feature an adoptable horse of the day starting today. The first one will go up. And those are all from the rescue listings that are on there. So if you have a rescue and a home for every horse and you haven't listed your horses, get them up there so we can feature them this month and help get those horses new homes. We're going to put some featured horses in our newsletters that are going out. We're going to try and get some adoption success stories written up because we've had a lot of people submit them over the last few months. And then we've got a program through some of the other things because we have all the magazines and the websites that we can use, Horse and Rider, Equus, Practical Horse Models. Equus is going to do an awareness month where it talks about the, rescue horse situation and just bring overall awareness to that. Like, it's not the horse's fault. It's just the circumstance they happen to be in or, different things. So that'll have stories and social posts and newsletter things also. So we're hoping to help some horses find their new homes.
Yeah, it's really interesting. When we started the podcast for this month, we were talking about the fact that there's so many great horses out there that just need a little help in order to find that next career or get adopted, find their new family, like we talk about with dogs and cats kind of thing. So I really think that you guys featuring a horse all the time for Adopt a Horse Month is a great idea. I'm going to be eager to know how many horses get adopted in the month of May. Hopefully you'll have really strong response rate there. I know that we're getting closer to trail riding season now in some parts of the country and show season in some parts of the country. So you never know when you might find your next equine companion out there on a horse on your website to adopt. Anything else?
Absolutely. And
I'm just going to say, anything else you want to share with our listeners about the foundation or about a home for every horse?
I guess one thing for our, this is the week that we send out our coupons and everything to help support those rescues. So we have Purina that gives us free feed for the rescues in the program every year, and that's awesome. But also every horse that gets adopted is eligible to get a Weatherbeta blanket. So if somebody adopts a horse in May, they can just sign up and say, hey, I adopted one and please send me my new Weatherbeta blanket, whether it's a sheet or a full size winter blanket. So there's that, but we are just really looking forward to being able to help this industry we love so much in a bigger way than we ever have before. So yeah, everything we do will be on equinenetworkfoundation.org or homeforeveryhorse.com.
Great. Okay, folks, look in the show notes. When you listen to the podcast, you'll find their website addresses there and some contact information, and check them out. You never know what you might come upon. So thanks, Melissa. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too, Julie.
So switching gears a little bit, it looks like there might be some action happening in Washington, D.C. with the Farm Bill, Julie. But this is also a great reminder that our 2024 American Horse Council Conference and National Issues Forum, which is going to be in our nation's capital June 9th and 12th, you're able to register and join in to find out about a lot of the latest information going on in the industry and in government. What can you tell us in this month's legislative update, Julie?
So I want to talk a little bit about the Farm Bill, because as you alluded to, we're keeping our fingers crossed that the Farm Bill's going to go over the goal line there before too long. We don't know how long it's going to take. There's a lot of things going on in D.C. and a lot of different issues being discussed. And sometimes that does get us a little derailed in focusing on the Farm Bill. But we thought it would be important for listeners to know that the Farm Bill contains a lot of things that are really, really important to the horse industry. Of course, it has funding for the Horse Protection Act, which ensures that we've got good welfare and well-being for horses. It includes funding for the National Animal Disease Preparedness and Response Program, the National Animal Vaccine and Countermeasure Bank, the National Animal Health Laboratory Network. Really important to us is the Veterinary Medicine Loan Repayment Program, which gets veterinarians out into rural communities and helps with their student debt. And so that's a great program. And we have a marketing assistance program, which really works for imports and exports of horses and those kinds of things. Of course, there's a line item in the Farm Bill to support the health programs for equines. So lots of things in the Farm Bill that we're really, really dependent upon and we really need to see happen. And we're pushing as hard as we can and making all those contacts. And in fact, tomorrow, the House Ag Committee is going to be meeting and I'm going to be downtown in D.C. to talk to them a little bit about the Farm Bill and how we need to sort of keep this thing moving along. So lots to know about that.
Definitely. It's like slugging through some of that thick mud out at the farm after a long rain like we've had here in Indiana lately.
Yeah, but I also wanted to mention to listeners, as you did, our annual conference is coming up June 9th through 12th here in Washington, D.C. We have a great lineup of speakers. We're going to be hearing a panel discussion about owning responsibly and social license to operate. We've got a grassroots advocacy speaker. We have a panel discussion about advocacy policies and practices and how that happens. We'll have some speakers in that panel that are from other associations such as American Farm Bureau Federation, the National Grange, AVMA, the American Veterinary Medical Association, and so on. So we've got some great speakers lined up there. A whole panel conversation about the veterinary shortage and what our industry needs to do to help with that. I think we've been jokingly calling the presentation that we're going to hear about manure management. So we've been talking about what that looks like and how that process works. Some great conversations on environmental sustainability. We're also going to be hearing from a couple of speakers on technology and innovation in the horse industry. So there's something for everybody at this year's conference.
Something for everybody.
And I will also add that we spend some time when we are in DC taking our attendees up on the Hill, going into congressional offices, meeting with federal regulatory agencies. So if you come into DC and you want to meet the man who makes these decisions over at the Environmental Protection Agency or the Department of Interior, that's what we line up, and you get a chance to come face to face with those federal agency staffers and those congressional staffers and learn a little bit about that process too. So it's not only very educational and informative, it's a lot of fun. We do a lot of great networking, and it's a good opportunity to meet a lot of other people in the industry and build new networks and new partnerships out there. So join us in DC, go to the website at horsecouncil.org, and you can see the registration there and all the things that are involved.
Definitely something for everybody. Well, thank you for joining us today. We'll provide links for the United Horse Coalition, the Heart of Phoenix Equine Rescue, as well as other great tools that we've talked about today in our show notes.
And we invite you to support our industry by joining the American Horse Council. And you also get a free subscription to our monthly newsletter and a number of other discount programs and other events and happenings that we have going on, both at the federal and the state level. Don't want to dismiss the fact that we have state horse councils in about 26 or 27 states. They really work on state legislative issues. And so you can learn all about what they do. So there's a lot of information for horse owners just like you out there who need to be in the know.
Definitely. And to stay in the know, you can also follow the American Horse Council on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and LinkedIn. You can also follow the United Horse Coalition on those social media channels. And you can subscribe to this podcast's RSS feed. You can subscribe to Horses in the Morning on any podcast player and find all the shows, including ours, on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com.
And as we like to say, we are #HereForHorses.